Christ. He's changing me. My precious Jesus, I'm not the same person that I used to be. Sometimes it's slow going, but there's joy knowing that someday, perfect, I will be little by little every day, little by little every way. Jesus is changing me. Since I made a turnabout face, I've been growing in His grace. My Jesus is changing me. He's changing me. My precious Jesus.
Lord, because this world
wants to give us all the bad news, but you are come to bring the gospel, which is good news. Lord, we know that you own the cattle on a thousand hills, and all the silver and all the gold belongs to you, and that you're no man's debtor. And Lord, we know that you can take care of every situation. And Lord Jesus, we just bring our situations to you this evening, Lord, for we know that thou art a very present help. Not only a present help, but a very present help in the time of trouble. We know, Lord, that you are a deliverer. Lord, when Moses with the children of Israel were blocked in by a sea and blocked in with Pharaoh's army, Lord, an impossibility happened when you opened up the Red Sea. And Lord, the little course says God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do what no other can do. Lord, realize, Lord, that when a flood came and took this world and destroyed it, you prepared an ark. And Lord, they were carried over safely because of the ark which you provided. Realize, Lord, when there was a giant defying Israel, you raised up a youth, Lord, to slay the giant. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that when the devil had his way and he injected death into the human race and all man was dying, you sent a champion of all the ages, the Lord Jesus Christ, who single-handedly, once and for all, took the power of the devil on, and you triumphed over death, hell and the grave, and you ever lived to make intercession for the saints. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. Lord, we know this evening, and we have confidence that you're able to take care of us. You're able to succor us this evening. You're able, Lord, to meet every need. We just ask you now, Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll touch every heart. Lord, even for those that didn't raise their hands, Lord, you'll still bless them, Lord. Yes. Touch their hearts this evening, Lord. Let us feel the joy of your presence in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Lord, in your at your right hand, there's pleasure forevermore, and in your presence there is joy. And Lord, we pray, Lord, this afternoon, Lord, that indeed you'll pour out your Spirit, Lord, that we would have our tongues loosed to praise thee, that you would take the weights from off our hands, that we can even lift our hands toward heaven and praise you. Lord God, that you would even loose our feet from the chains from off us, Lord, and let us be free this evening. Lord, we haven't come, Lord, to pay respects to men, but Lord, we've come to worship the Lord God of Christ. We've come to worship the God of Israel, the Isaac of Jacob, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for you've done great things for us, for offer of God. I pray, Lord, this evening for this young man, Ali Kwa. I pray, Lord God, that you'll break the chains of depression and all. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, also for them and honor, Lord, you'll save them in Jesus Christ's name. I ask you, Lord Jesus Christ, this evening, Lord, for the other family members that's represented here, that you'll save the children, that you'll save the parents, that you'll save the brothers and the sisters, the uncles, the cousins, the nieces and nephews, Lord. Do you have hope salvation amongst us in the name of Jesus Christ? And Lord, we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that we'll not be afraid to ask you for the things we have want and need of, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want and desire to see our family saved. Lord, we have need of financial things this evening. Lord, take care of us. Lord, for the psalmist David said he was young, and now he's old, yet he had not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Lord God, we just ask you now that you'll close us into yourself for a time. And Lord, let everything, Lord, be cast down, Lord, that we could look to thee, the author and the finisher of our health. And Lord, we would say for truth, we only look to thee. For Lord, there's no disappointment with Jesus. More than anything else, there's disappointment and there's frailties, Lord, and upsets, Lord, and upheavals. But Lord, you are that unchangeable one. Lord, we can depend on you. Lord, we know that word was once written, it will always be written, that it's never moved about. Lord, we know that you don't take bits out of your word, you don't move them around, you don't change them. But Lord, it's always there. If it's once there, it's always there. And Lord, we know this evening, Lord, that we can claim healing because thou art the God of Israel, who changes not. We pray, Lord Jesus, now this evening, that you'll help us to praise and magnify your name. And I pray, Lord, you'll pour out a spirit of intercession upon us and a spirit of praise and worship in Jesus Christ's name. For Lord, it's our joy to worship you. I'm just asking now, Lord God, your blessing be upon this service and each one that's here. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And Lord, if there's anything, Lord, that ought to been said that's not been said, pray, Lord, you'll undertake for it and take care of that need in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, we just want to say tonight we love you because you first loved us. And Lord, let us once again say thank you for the cross. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for thy precious blood. For Lord, none of us would be here had it not been for the place. Had it not been for a place called Calvary. Had it not been for that old rugged cross. But Lord, we're here because of thy precious blood and because of what you have done for us. Lord, it's all about you this evening. It's all about you every day. Let us live our lives daily, remembering that it's all about you, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sing another. We haven't got nothing yet on the laptop, Matthew. Nothing yet. Well, we'll sing a couple more choruses, praise God. Maybe if we're not to end up working, we'll just sing a few choruses, praise God. Well, you could probably give the red book check mark and we'll sing a hymn before we close. Praise God, amen. Can we sing that little chorus? Well, it's gone from me, but it'll probably come to me in a wee moment. But if you sing part one, I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I know your arm is not too short, and you can reach me to you. And as I pray, and press my way into your kingdom too, I know I'll grow to be more like you just by reaching out to you.
I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord, I'm reaching out to you.
Spirit.
in your redemption hymn book somewhere, I'll try and sing that hymn again. Jesus was slain for me at Calvary. It's 177 in the redemption hymn book. but I'm not sure if the key, but we'll try it. I need to start over again, just excuse me.
Jesus was slain for me at Calvary. Crowned with thorns was he at Calvary. There he in anguish died. There from his open side, pour forth the crimson tide at Calvary. Hardened is all my sin at Calvary. Cleansed is my heart within at Calvary.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this evening, and I want to thank Brother Gary for leading us in song tonight. We really appreciate it. It's good to sing unto the Lord, and the Lord bless each one that's came tonight, and the Lord bless those that's tuning in, praise God, and via Facebook or other system down. But thank God we're not reliant on any systems, praise God, but we're relying on the Lord. And we need the Lord. We need the Spirit of the Lord. But the Lord bless those that is tuning in. We do give you a very warm welcome. And don't forget, Monday night at 7:30, Brother Gary McKenzie will be preaching in Market Hill Christian Fellowship. Come along, I'll be free and support Gary. And also Thursday night, Brother Gary will be there as well. And if you're free, come along and support our brother. And do pray that souls will be saved. Also, we'll be here again on Wednesday night for prayer and Bible study. And we just thank the Lord. Praise God. Let us turn to the Word of God, to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4 and verse 12. And we want to look tonight at only one way of salvation. Praise God. There's only one way of salvation. There's no more than one road to heaven. Praise God. And there's no more than one way in which a soul can be saved. Praise the Lord. I want us to see from the Word of God tonight, from Acts chapter 4, and I'm going to read you something from the Church of England's doctrine, what they used to believe about this, and you'll be surprised. And many churches had strong foundations doctrinally, but they've let them slip away today. But it doesn't change the fact of what they had was true, and it still is true. Praise God. Let us read this verse 12 of Acts 4. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let us bow again for a word of prayer tonight. Our Father and our eternal God, we do bow before you in the precious name of thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for this privilege we have, that we can come from thy footstool into thy very throne room and into thy very presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Father, we thank thee for the precious blood tonight, that it washes us and cleanses us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Lord, as our brother said, we do need thy help. Lord, without thee we can do nothing, but with thee anything is possible. And we know that which is impossible with men is possible with God. We submit ourselves to thee this evening. We submit to the Holy Spirit our mind, soul and body tonight. And we ask for the leadership, for the inspiration, and for the moving and the speaking of your Holy Ghost through us tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit to help me. Amen. And I thank you that you do. Pray again for all those that are brothers praying for tonight. Amen. Lord, that thou indeed will touch and heal every single one of them in Jesus Christ's name. And Father, as your word goes out, may it be a good seed sown in good ground. Amen. And may you give it the increase in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. These words, I believe, tonight are striking in themselves, but they are much more striking. We observe them and observe who spoke them. When we observe these words, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And then when we observe who they were spoken by, they were spoken by a poor friendless Christian in the midst of persecuting by a Jewish council, Peter. There he stood in the midst of them while they persecuted him. And while he stood before them, he spoke these words. And I tell you, many a true word's been spoken when someone's under persecution. Praise God. It was a grand confession of Christ. They were spoken by the lips of the Apostle Peter. Praise God. This is a man who a few weeks before pursued Jesus and fled. And not only did he forsake him and fled, but he denied him three times. This is the same man, but let's remind ourselves, this is also the same man that the Lord said to him, Satan hath desired to sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, Peter. And when thou art converted, thou shalt strengthen thy weaker brother. And you know when the Lord appeared to him, he said, do you love me? And he said, you know I love you. And the Lord asked him several times. And he continued to tell him, feed my sheep. Praise God. And here the Apostle Peter is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he speaks these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. These lips are moved by the Spirit of God. Neither is there salvation in any other name. Praise God. There is indeed another spirit in Peter as he speaks here from what there was in him before he was converted. And just as the young man that Gary mentioned tonight, if he get the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll never be the same.
priests and the Sadducees, and he tells them the truth to their face. Neither is there salvation in any other name. God bless you, brother. Praise God. This very text was one of the principal foundations, listen to this, in which the 18th article of the Church of England is built on this text. And Acts 4, verse 12, is what the 18th article of what the Church of England was built upon. See, some people think the Church of England, oh, dead eyed bunch and all. And you look at some of these places today, dead bunch and all that. But I want you to remember at one point and at one time God moved in them places. And there was real men of God behind their movements at one time. And the truths that they had at the beginning still remain, for God's truth always remains a truth. And this is their article. Listen to this tonight. The article runs as follows. They also are to be had a curse that presumed to say that every man shall be saved by the law or sight he professeth, so that he be diligent to frame his life accordingly to the law and light of nature. For the Holy Scripture doth sign out unto us only the name Jesus Christ, whereby men must be saved. That's the 18th article of the Church of England. They're saying that any man will assume salvation whether it's by the law or works or deeds or any program, let him be accursed. I tell you, they're falling well from that truth today, but nevertheless, that is the truth. Amen. You would be surprised if I took all their 37 articles and preached it from them. You would be surprised. You know, there's one of them about the Pope of Rome, how they denounce him and deny him as the Antichrist. It's in their own articles. I tell you, it would shock people today, wouldn't it? And people that go to places and they don't even know what they stood for and what they originally believed. But nevertheless, it's the truth, isn't it? Thank God for this scripture. There are few stronger words than this set out through the whole of the 39 articles. And that's what they had, the 39 articles of the Church of England. Somebody says, you know, I'm joining up the Church of England. No, but I'm telling you, there's people that have great truth. Great truth. And then there's other people that think they've great truth, but they're actually far away from the truth. They're preaching another gospel and another Jesus. And Paul the Apostle warns us that there would be some coming in the last days that preach another Jesus and another gospel. And there is no other gospel, and there is no other Jesus, and there is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. There is salvation and no other name, only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me first of all explain this text that I hear by Peter in Acts 4 verse 12. Now what does this mean? Look at it, what this text means, and look at your Bible. Neither is there salvation and any other. Praise God. It means that no one can save from sin. Listen to this. No one can save from sin. Its guilt, its power, its consequences, except the Lord Jesus Christ. No other one can do it. There's no man can save you. Even a brother mentioned it in his prayer. No man can do it. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ can save you from sin and the consequences and the guilt and the penalty of sin. Amen. Only the Lord. He means that no man or woman can have peace with Almighty God or obtain pardon in this world and escape the wrath to come in the next, except through the atonement and the mediation of Jesus Christ. And Christ alone, God's richest provision of salvation for sinners, is treasured up. By Christ alone, God's abundant mercies come down from heaven there. Christ's blood alone can cleanse us. Christ's righteousness alone does clothe us. Christ's merit alone can give us the title to heaven. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, learned or unlearned, red, yellow, black and white. It's not just a case of Black Lives Matter. Thank God tonight he died for all. Christ's word alone can give us the title of heaven. There's no other way to get this title. Jew or Gentile, rich or unrich, only through Christ. There is none, no other name given under heaven. No other name. Praise God. None of one. Given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other person commissioned. I want you to get that this evening. There's none commissioned. The Pope is not commissioned to see him. The head of the Church of England is not commissioned to see him. The head of the Brethren, the head of the Baptist, the head of the Pentecostal, the head of the Message Movement. Not a one of them, none of them is commissioned to save a man. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can save. Him alone. In Christ alone. There is no other person commissioned, saved, and appointed by Almighty God to save sinners except Christ alone. Praise God. Do you believe that tonight?
Amen.
The key of life and death are committed to his hand. And all who will be saved must come to him. I tell you, you can't be saved without Christ. You must come to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. You can come to no other. There was only one place of safety in the day of the flood. And that place of safety in the day of the flood was the ark. And when God said to Noah, build an ark to the saving of your house, there was no other place of safety. There was no canoe could save you. There was no other wee boat could save you. There was absolutely no other way to be saved. Only the ark. And the ark was God's provided way. And Jesus Christ is the ark of salvation today.
Amen.
And he has God's provided way today. No other way. I tell you, all other places and devices, mountains, towers, trees, rafts, boats, and all others were useless. And I tell you, everything else is useless today. So also there's but one hiding place for the sinner who will escape the storm of God's anger. And that place is in Christ alone. You know, God's servant said, when these bombs come, and they're coming, don't mistake it, they're coming. There's going to be bombs coming to the earth. They're going to break the crater of the earth. They're going to burst open into the lava of the earth. It's been prophesied. And the Bible speaks of it. It's going to happen. And he said they can build their bunkers under the ground and concrete them and do whatever they want, but it won't save them from the wrath of him that's to come. The only place of safety will be in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And him alone.
Amen.
There was but one man to whom the Egyptians could go to for food. In the time of the 7 year starvation plague in Egypt, and that man's name was Joseph. And you could not have food, and you wouldn't have food except for Joseph. And Joseph was a means of food for men and women. And Jesus Christ is the bread from heaven. And Jesus Christ is our means for food today. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's God's appointed bread from heaven.
Amen.
And there was no food in Egypt. And the Egyptians, in the time of the famine, when they wanted food, they had to go to Joseph. It was the absolute waste of time to go anywhere else. You're starved. And I tell you, you can go wherever you want, but if you have never went to Jesus, you're lost. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that hungry souls must come. And they must come to Christ. Look at our text again. No salvation but by Jesus. At John 14 verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is the same thing the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which has been laid. You cannot lay another foundation than that which has been laid. Praise God. It is also the same John tells us in the first epistle. The first epistle of John 5, 11 and 12. Here's what it says. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life.
Amen.
And this life is in the church. No. In his Son.
Amen.
In his Son. He doesn't say in the church. He says in his Son. Verse 12. He that hath the Son of life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Praise God. Aren't you glad for the Son of God tonight?
Amen.
And life. All these texts that we've read, all these scriptures we've read, come to the same point. That there is no salvation but by the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. No other way. Our salvation is absolutely in Christ alone. Amen. By faith alone, in Christ alone, are we saved. We are the venture. We are the venture of all salvation. All of our souls on Christ alone. That's what we're to do. We're to lay our hope in no other. We're to put our trust in no other. But we're to venture all on Christ and on Christ only. We're to cast loose completely and entirely from all our hopes and trusts. None of them any use to you. The broken sticks. Trying to be good. Trying to do this. Trying to do that. It'll all fail. But it's only the Savior that will keep you and save you. And it's in Him alone. Of our tax, Christ alone. Here's another thing about it. Let us now see why the doctrine of our tax is so true. Here's a simple reason why. Do you know why the doctrine of this tax is true? Do you know why? If I was to ask you, why is it true? Without giving 1,000 explanations, here's why it's true. Because God said so.
Amen.
The doctrine of our tax is true because about this text. Said an old sermon is a small word, a plain text, said an old sermon is as good as 1,000 reasons. And the fact that God said so is as good as 1,000 reasons because God said so. This is not the word of a man. This is the word of God. The word of a man's a broken stick and can fail you. But the word of God is time tested. And it will never fail. And not only will it not fail, it will not return void unto them. Praise God. Now what is the what is this man? Plain and simple. I tell you, man, let me say this, the doctrine of our text is true because man is what he is. Now you say, what is man? I tell you, man's sinful. Man's a fallen creature. Fallen creature. Every one of us could do anything. You say, I couldn't. Well, you're wrong, you could. It's only the Lord that saves us. It's only the Lord that keeps us.
Right.
Any man, a man could go as low as a pig and as low as a dog. And I tell you, you've only to study your Bible to know that. This idea of bettering yourselves is false teaching.
That's right.
You'll never do it. You need the power of the Lord.
Amen.
You need the power of the Spirit of God. You never could better yourself
right.
By your own achievements.
Right.
And the old boy said he couldn't even pull up his own bootstraps. It takes the Lord to help us.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Plain and simple, man is sinful. All children of Adam born into the world, whatsoever be his name or nation, are corrupt, wicked, defiled in the sight of God. Their thoughts, words, ways, actions are all more or less defective and imperfect. All of them. And you study your Bible and you'll see, and you pick me all the great prophets here in the Old Testament, and you'll find somewhere for the fell short, and that's in this book for a reason.
Right.
And the reason that's in this book, because there was one that was going to come, who had no imperfections.
Amen.
The perfect man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord from heaven.
Absolutely.
And I tell you, in Him is no fault. Romans 3 and 23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Psalms 51 verse 5 tells us, behold, I was shapen in iniquity and sin did my mother conceive me. We're all born sinners. Shapen in iniquity. That's how I've come into the world. Born to curse, born to lie. You never have to learn to do it. about the wee fella and the wee gingerbread man. I bet he's ever heard that story before.
Yeah.
And he said his wife made the wee gingerbread man. And she baked the wee gingerbread man. How many's ever baked the gingerbread man? Only two of you in this whole meeting. I'm surprised at that. How many's ever ate a gingerbread man? Well, I'll tell you, just get yourselves one apiece this week. They're great. Some of you don't like gingerbread. But the point of it is, it's white meat. The wee gingerbread man, and she put the wee gingerbread man in the tray, and she put them in the oven, and she baked them. And she brought them out of the oven, and she sat them on the side to cool. And that evening she came back, there were several of them missing. And she said to wee Johnny, she said, Johnny, did you see where the wee man went? No, he never seen them. He never had noticed them. But he had them in his belly. See, nobody ever had to learn him to tell a lie. He was naturally a liar, for he was born a sinner. And every man and woman is born a sinner by nature, a sinner by birth. People say, oh, he told lies because his dad's a liar. Well, then you need to go right back to the real dad, Satan. But the Bible says he's the father of lies. That's why we have to be born again.
Amen.
And be born Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. Human nature is so tainted and corrupted, left to themselves, no man could be saved. Man's case is hopeless without the Savior. Absolutely hopeless. And thank God for Jesus Christ, the mighty Savior.
Amen.
There must be a mediator, an atonement, an advocate to make such poor sinful beings acceptable with God. There is an animal in there is animals in nature that are vile. If you ever saw animals and you look at them and you hate them. Now there's part of the creatures you look at and they do things and you would say, why do they do that? It's vile. How many of you ever can say they can attest to that? That you've ever looked at an animal in nature and it was vile what they've done. And you say, well, it's an animal, it doesn't know it's doing it. But yet, how does God view us as sinners? And we're vile in his sight without his son.
Yes.
That's why we need his blood. We need his cleansing.
Right.
Every one of us is in an unclean thing, the Bible tells us. And we need the Savior. That's why there's salvation and no other.
Amen.
But yet the animal, it doesn't know itself or its doing. They don't realize. But yet how does our sin and corruption seen by the holy angels who look in on us? How does it look? You know, God sends holy angels. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Did you know the time of Sodom and Gomorrah that God sent down investigating angels? And did you know what, when Abraham stood back and he pleaded with God of this 50, of this 40, of this 30, yes, right to 10. God said yes for 10, but there wasn't 10. And you know the story, only 4 souls were saved. 4 that came out and 1 looked back and turned to a pillar of salt and a priest from the very text, remember Lot's wife. She turned back. And I tell you, we're living in a time for Christians can turn back. And God doesn't want any of us to turn back, but he wants us to go on with God.
Amen.
And on with the things of God and not turn back to the world. There's nothing to turn back to. I know sometimes the road can be tough. The road can be hard. But I tell you something, there's nothing to turn back to. The world has nothing to offer any one of us. The world has nothing to give any one of us. But Christ has promised us salvation. He's promised us the blessing of the Spirit. And he's promised us the home in heaven. was on a mission trip. He didn't want to hear that people had got saved and where I'd been. No, do you know what he wanted to hear? He wanted to hear that I went back to the drink, was a lying in the gutter. That's what he wanted to hear. God knows man's heart. You can kick me, I can kick you, but you can never kick God. Apostle Peter's conclusion, there can be no salvation except Christ. The doctrine of our text is to be true because God is what God said he is. Now what is God? There's many things I could say to you tonight about God. We could take this service from several services. We could never out-preach what God is so much. But we know someone of his attributes. He's not left himself without witnesses from creation. He has mercifully revealed to us many things about himself in his word. We know that God is a spirit. God is eternal. God is invisible. God is almighty. He's a maker of all things, a preserver of all things. Holy, just, all-seeing, all-knowing, all-remembering. Infinite mercy, infinite wisdom, and in purity. We know these things about God. This doctrine must be true because the Bible is what the Bible is. The Bible is God's truth. The Bible's not just another book that you buy in the store to entertain yourself. The Bible is a written, living word of God. There is life in this Bible because this Bible is God's holy, infallible, inspired word. If you take this Bible and follow its instructions, you will receive eternal life. If you take this Bible and follow its instructions, you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit and the blessings of God and the future of the home in heaven when you follow this book. No other book can do that. There's life in this book. The pages of this book are the truth. This is God's word. And God will back this word because it's his word. If we do not believe this doctrine, we must give the Bible up. Must throw it away. If we don't believe these things, we don't believe the Bible. What is our blueprint? What is? What's our foundation? Our foundation, the thing that we hold dear, must be the word of God. Men and women died and shed their blood so that we can have this Bible. Even the great Martin Luther, which I really appreciate so much. You know, there's nothing negative I can say about him. I know others have. It doesn't bother me a bit what he said about this or that. Because there's too much good that he done that I don't see any of the rest. Now you mightn't think that, but it makes no difference to me. You see, I heard a man one time, and he took all the great servants of God, and he preached all of their lives, and he brought out the bad bits. And then he was telling you how they should have been fixed. But the man that was doing that couldn't have laced the boots of one of them. And there's no point to condemn what a man's doing if you can't do what he's doing. And I tell you, Martin Luther was something else, something special for me. And we have this Bible because God led Martin Luther to write a great part of it. And many things happened and they tried to kill him, they tried to do all things to him. What about another man, William Tyndale? Oh, I cried when I heard his story. Burned at the stake for the word of God. William Tyndale. That's why his Bible is so precious. The Tyndale Bible. And your King James Bible is really written from that Tyndale Bible, really. And many knows that. And I tell you, thank God for this King James Bible. This is God's word and we should be proud of it. Proud to carry it. Proud to read it. Proud to take it with us. This Bible is what it is because God is what he is. Thank God for the word of God tonight. All through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation there's only one simple account. And the way in which man must be saved, and it's always the same, through faith in Christ alone. Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 3. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners speak in times past unto the fathers, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, for whom also all things were made, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and of holding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty in heaven. I love that phrase, sat down. Lot of people that troubles if it doesn't trouble me, it blesses me. I look at it as a man that finishes his work.
What does he do? When he finishes his work, he sits down, but the work's done. And I want to tell you in this service tonight, listening in live tonight, I want to tell you that Jesus Christ finished the work the Father gave him to do. And he sat down, and he has purged our sins. What with? With his own precious blood. I love the scripture that says the precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish, the precious blood of Jesus. God, having spoken to the fathers long ago on the voices and writings of the prophets, I tell you, that's what God done. God, through centuries, spoke by the voices of the prophet, but in these last days, Jesus was God's voice to us. For he says he's spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ. No more God above us, but it was God with us. Now we know he went back to the heaven and he sat down and he sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's with us tonight. Not only is he with us, but he's in us. Amen. Greater is he that's in you, amen, than he that's in the world. The Holy Spirit's in us. And Jesus says, I'm going away, but I will send another comforter in my name. And the Holy Spirit came in the name of Jesus, and he's here to lead you. And he knows every single thing you're going through. And the Lord loves you tonight. Here's my last thought. I've so many things I could say from this verse. Let's look at some of the consequences which follow the natural out of the doctrine declared by Peter. We as believers should not hide the fact to all men and women that neither is there salvation in any other. We should never hide it. There are consequences to this scripture if you don't heed it. If a man or a woman does not heed, neither is there salvation in any other, they will die and perish without Christ. You and me have an onus on us to share this news with others. We need to share it with our neighbor. We need to share it with fellow man and fellow women that neither is there salvation in any other but Christ alone. I tell you, I believe we need to mature it. We need to be telling others. The greatest charity is to tell the greatest quantity of truth. That's real charity, is to tell the truth. And Jesus is that truth. We're not to hide the truth, but as believers, we should be ready to tell all this truth. The Bible says we're not to light a candle and hide it under a bushel, but we're to set it out for men can see it. If God's given us a talent, we need to use it. He doesn't want us to bury it. He wants us to use what we have. I was thinking the other day, people that are gifted, and they don't want to use that gift. And then they pray to God and they ask God for another gift. Why would God give another gift to someone who's already given a gift till, but they don't want to use it? If you have a gift tonight, God wants you to use your gift that you have before you ask for another one. If you're not using the gift God's already given you, why would you ask for another one when you then it said as well? Stir up the gift that is within thee. And every one of us should be soul winners for Jesus. It's not just down to the pastor to try and win souls. It's down to everyone, sheep for sheep. And every one of us should
to try and win someone to the Lord. I tell you, he that winneth souls is wise. I know there's men called spitefully and God uses them. I know all that. And I know you can't judge a man. He won 10 and he won 2. I know you can't do that. But if all of us made an effort and did our best, that's all God wants. And we do our best for him. But the word of God says, whatsoever you put your hand forth to do, do it with all your might, as of unto the Lord. Do you believe that tonight?
Amen.
All of us should do it. No other name given under heaven that's attached. No other name but Christ. And no other name whereby we must be saved. Please let's consider some of the tremendous things about this as I close the night. The consequences of this. What are they? Do you know the consequences of this doctrine involve? You say, oh, you know, see, some people have the attitude, I'll tell you the attitude of a lot of people. You see, I believe in predestination. And they'll just come in their own good time. Well, I'll tell you, that's pathetic. In my book. And I don't care if people don't like that or not. I'm not apologizing for it. That's absolutely pathetic. That's exciting. Their windies need wipes, but they'll wipe themselves in their own good time. If you have a bucket of soap and a sponge, get them washed. And I tell you, God's called every one of us. It's not the scripture, that attitude. An attitude like that's not the Bible. Because not in the Bible, Jesus never called his disciples to say, I'll tell you what, boys, lie back and contain the preacher. He didn't say that. He said, see that preacher? Forget about it. I have more preaching for you to do. Preach for men. Follow me! And I'll make you fishers of men. The Bible says they left their nets and they went fishing for men. It's easy to go back fishing. Now understand what I'm saying tonight. A little relaxing and a little slumbering. It's easy to go back fishing. And I'm told we'd come back into the things of the world. It's easy to do it. But God wants us to fish for him. You know, when you read that great book, Pilgrim's Progress, how they slumbered on the way. And the Lord's coming, you know. The Lord's coming. And people can preach all their doctrine they want about the second coming and the rapture. He's going, she's not going, all this stuff. But I'll tell you one thing. The Bible's clear on it. We need to be ready. Yeah. That's who's going. The Bible says the bride is made herself ready. If then the Holy Spirit will go, if somebody has the Holy Spirit, they'll be ready. The number one to run with the word of the Holy Spirit. They'll be ready. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin and unrighteousness. That's the Bible. And thank God for the Holy Spirit. All of us need it. Lest we get lax on the way. And I'm closing in a moment. One mighty consequence is the utter usefulness of any religion without Christ. The consequences of a religion without Christ, useless. A message without the blood, a message without Christ is dead. It won't save, it won't deliver. It's useless. It's anemic. Powerless. But I tell you, Christ's message is a message for blood. See here, Spurgeon says, if a man doesn't preach about the blood, don't go to hear him not even once. That's what he said. I'll tell you, friends, it's sad to say it, but there's a lot of churches today that claim to have a lot of truth, and they never preach the blood. Never. A lot of them even say we don't need to preach it. They preach that they don't need to preach it. What do you think of that passage? It's not in this Bible. To preach that you don't need to preach, it's not the word of God. Right. Paul said that I would know nothing else amongst you, save of Jesus Christ and him crucified. No other religion can comfort man, for can it save man? Let us beware of any religion without Christ. The Mormons claim they have a religion. It's not Christ-centered. And they lay out rules that they can't do. But then when you see what they can do, isn't it amazing that a fella can't drink a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, but he can knock back a bottle of Johnny Walker whiskey anytime he wants? That's some religion, isn't it? Don't touch the tea or coffee, it'll kill you, but whiskey's all right. A lot of people believe that, you know. When you study some of these religions, do you realize that they believe Lucifer is a full brother to Jesus? That's what they believe. And the one was bad, one was good, I tell you, that's false preaching. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. The devil was created, Jesus through him, all things were made by him and for him. Without him was not anything made that's made, it must be Christ. Christ alone. Let's see also the consequences of the folly of any religion in which Christ is not first place. Christ must have first place, and I'm closing. Christ must have first place. We believe in Christ, but you see, our man. Who is our man? Tell me who your man is. If your man's not the Lord Jesus, you have no man. I'll tell you that right now. Our man. Our man doesn't say it like that. Will you not be going and ask you about your man? You'll be asked, what about Christ? Our man. I hear so much about our man. My man is Jesus. My Savior is Jesus. My baptizer in the Holy Ghost is Jesus. My coming King is Jesus. The one I'm pointing you to is Jesus. The only Savior is Jesus. The only healer is Jesus. That's my man.
Amen.
Come and see my man.
Amen.
Come and tell your friends. Come and see my man. Tell them that. Jesus. The next time somebody tells you about their man, you tell them about your man.
Amen.
Tell them your man's in the Bible and his name's Jesus. I tell you, there's a lot of religions tonight and Christ's not the head of them. Oh yes, some of them think they're walking in great light. But if it's put under the microscope of the Word of God. You know, when you preach on the tabernacle, there's one thing in it, which I love. And I've studied it a lot over the years. Maybe the Lord leads me to preach on it again. I'll close it just in a moment. You know, when you get to the tabernacle and you come through the door, and that door is held up by four pillars, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that door is called the veil. Every color in it speaks of Christ. The blue speaks of the Lord from heaven. The red speaks of his blood. The white speaks of his purity and righteousness. The gold speaks of his supreme deity. He's God in Christ. And when you take the four gospels or four pillars, and when you go in there and you come into the first place, you come to the brazen altar of sacrifice, which is a type of Christ on the cross, because the wound is over there, brass, and the wound speaks of humanity, and the brass speaks of God's judgment, and God judged Jesus for me and you. And my, you can take the very height of it. It's 3 meters high, but the midst of it's 1.5 meters. When you study the tabernacle, everything through it's 1.5 meters, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's unchanging. The I Am. But the point I want to make this evening as I close, when you go on beyond that brazen altar of sacrifice, and by the way, all the instruments fit within it. You hear me? The cups, the spoons, and the pans, all of them fit within the brazen altar of sacrifice. They're all in Christ. They all fit within. Maybe I'm not pronouncing it right, but you know what I mean. How many knows what I mean? The labour. And the labour was made from the looking glasses of the women of Israel. And remember, when they left Egypt, they borrowed of their neighbour. And when they come to build the tabernacle, they brought it to God's servants, and they gave it to them, and they built the labour from the looking glasses of the women of Israel at the bush class. You know, it was like gold. Whatever way it was made. Study it, you see.
And it's filled with water.
And when you look into the labour, you see your reflection. And when you look into this work, you see your reflection.
Amen.
And tonight, as you look into the Word of God, does your life reflect Jesus? Does it reflect the church or an organization? Or does it reflect Jesus Christ?
And when you look into that laver, you can see yourself. It's like a looking glass. And I know a great preacher said God's words are mirror. I think it was actually Reinhard Bonnke he said. He said, God's word is our mirror. And when we look into the word of God, it is our mirror that reflects what we are. Christ must be our all. Neither is our salvation in any other. There's only one way of salvation. Let's stand our feet tonight. God bless each one. For those perhaps listening in or watching tonight and you're not seated, I want to ask you this evening plainly, who is your man? There's lots of people over the years in this country that people follow. But no matter how good they are, they weren't Jesus. They never could be Jesus. But it is Jesus Christ we need to look to.
Amen.
It is Jesus Christ we need to follow.
Amen.
And the very best of God's servants will say, I point you to the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone.
No creed but Christ, no book but the Bible.
Amen.
Do you know the Savior tonight? Do you know Jesus? Neither is there salvation in any other. Will you come to the Lord tonight? Will you trust the Savior this evening? And will you call upon His name and be saved?
Amen.
Let us bow our heads this evening. I'm going to do it. I know everyone in this room can be saved, but somebody can be listening in that's not saved. If you don't know Christ tonight, God's word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
I challenge you this evening, come to Jesus. Don't come to the preacher or some man, but come to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ alone is the power to save.
Right.
Father in heaven, we thank thee this evening for thy precious word. We thank thee for the help of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We pray that the Holy Spirit will move.
Yes.
On the hearts and the lives of men and women this evening. Father, for those undecided, may you speak to them loud and clear. May you bring them to the lovely Savior. Open their eyes, open their understanding. Bring them, we pray, to the saving knowledge of the truth. In Jesus Christ's name. Lord, if there's any listening in tonight that doesn't know you, may they find Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. Father, I pray for those this evening in this room and listening in that need your touch. Lord, you promised that you would vindicate your own word. Father, I pray that you will vindicate the gospel with signs and wonders following. In the name of thy holy child Jesus, touch all in this room and touch all listening in tonight. Restore the backslidden, heal the sick and the afflicted, and save the lost. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless you, each one. As your brother Gary comes, God bless you. Don't forget, Wednesday night, at 7:30 on Monday night. Brother Guy will be preaching at Market Hill, 7:30. Come along with your free and support a brother, and pray for a brother. If you can't get, pray for a brother. God bless each and every one.